So with all of those things in mind, brothers, allow me to introduce Brother Andrew Conger. Andrew Conger, or Private Tootles, was initiated on his birthday, May 6th, to the Rho Theta chapter at Armstrong State University in Georgia in 2017. Since his initiation, he has served as vice president, secretary, and ARO of his chapter, and CPR to Province 33. He also served as the president of the Multicultural Greek Council that was very involved in Greek affairs at Armstrong, helping to organize fundraisers, charity events, and Greek Week. He currently teaches private music lessons and is looking to build a stronger alumni presence in southeastern Georgia. His hobbies include D&D, watching anime, and having deep conversations about life and its meaning. The title of his talk is Alumni Coordination: Utilizing and Optimizing a Rarely Tapped Resource. Brothers, please help me welcome Brother Andrew Conger.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Alrighty, so, yes, as stated, we're talking about alumni coordination, utilizing and optimizing a rarely tapped resource. This idea came to mind because so many people have a hard time dealing with and getting, reaching out to alumni. And that is something that I've had some amount of success with and have spent a lot of time thinking about and talking with other actives and alumni about. So that is why I volunteered to do this today. And I'm recently crossed. So maybe hearing it from someone a bit younger will be a bit more helpful. Alrighty, so we're going to be talking about how what we're thinking about while electing your ARO, alumni presence at events, chapter newsletters, finding the most helpful alumni, communication, and life as an alumni or alumnus. Let's dig right in. So yes, let's talk for a second. And for the active members and for those who are alumni now, what sort of relationship did you have with alumni as an active? You can talk about chapter or personally. That is up to you. This is open for everyone.
Brother Lane, I see a hand raised. Go ahead.
So I actually served as ARO for, I believe it was only a single semester. And then upon officer elections coming up again, between the two election cycles, we realized we were the only chapter in the province whose ARO was not an alumni. So we offered it to our alumni, and one of them is now serving, Alex Zygmunt. He's doing a great job. And, you know, a big problem I ran into and that he's working to fix very well right now is we just didn't have access to information to contact our alumni. Most of them, you know, the only thing we had left was their school emails, which are no longer active. And even if they are, they don't check them. So what that led to is it only, you know, only people that we knew. So recent alumni who had been active brothers with us or people we had met out in the wild. I knew a few through barbershop. So it was kind of interesting because I knew the cool things that some of the alumni were doing. And I just always wondered, what else am I missing out on? Because we don't have that, those established lines of communication. What other cool things are our alumni doing? I was just kind of was left wondering that.
Okie dokie. Anybody else want to talk about their chapter's relationship with alumni? We should probably keep it a little short so that way we can get to everything though.
I see Frankie has a hand raised. Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah, so I'm actually currently my chapter's ARO. And part of that was definitely my responsibility definitely was rebuilding that sort of network and sort of trying to get contact information up to date. trying to get them connected to the rest of the brothers, and also trying to get them connected to our probationary members as well. We do encourage them to interview at least, I believe, two or three, try and get an idea of like what sort of things they did during their time as brothers.
Cool. Right, very stuff.
Good. I see Brother Easterling has a hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, since I was active in two different chapters, of course, this was the time before email in the last century. And there at Frostburg, we actually depended on some alumni to do some critical functions of the chapter due to the size of the chapter. And they were some of them were nearby, and that worked out fine. Down at Miami, it was a different story with 30 active brothers. And the South Florida professional chapter at the time was there. They had a good rapport, and we would visit from time to time. So it was nice to have that connection.
All righty. Thank you all for sharing that. Let's talk about this for a second. Can you go ahead and go to the next slide, Wes? Yes. So let's talk about electing an ARO. I would strongly suggest your ARO actually be an active member of the chapter. Finding that person who is probably the oldest and closest to graduation, they'll know the most amount of people, the most alumni out there. They'll just have those connections and already know those people. Google spreadsheets are really good for keeping all of your communication intact. And I would, if you don't have a communication list, I would strongly suggest getting that started and having it accessible to your entire chapter. And keep updating it as often as you can. If you're communicating with your alumni enough, they'll let you know when, oh, I got a new phone number or a new email. I think it's really important to have an active member as your ARO, because they are the voice for your alumni and vice versa. I had cool things to say, but I did not write them down in notes. Take notes, guys, if you're doing a presentation. And is there anything that I'm missing off the top of my head? I had to go scrounge for headphones, and
Andrew, I have a question.
Shoot.
Yeah. What did you say? It was a Google Docs, or what was the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Google Docs, Google Sheets.
Google Sheets. Yeah, okay. Which is like the same thing as like Excel, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there an automated way using those programs, either Excel or Google Sheets, to send out emails in mass? Can you do that from that?
I always just copy and pasted.
Does anybody know? I mean, is it possible just to do a mass mail out to everybody?
You can have email lists
on a Google Sheet.
Gmail, yeah. And that would be a Gmail function. And you can create an email list, and you would just type out the name of the list and who you're sending it to. And then everybody on that list would receive that email.
And you can store that list then, right?
Yes. Oh, I remember what I was going to say earlier.
Okay, great.
The reason why having your ARO be an active is, and why I think that's important, is you want somebody who's going to be there at every meeting. You want somebody who has a vote and is actually going to have a voice when it comes to making decisions that affect your alumni. We at Rho Theta used to have alumni be our ARO, but what happened was they would not be able to make it to meetings, and we would not be able to have strong communication with their ARO. therefore not have strong communication with their alumni. And as soon as we started electing active members, we saw that change.
So Andrew, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. This is simply an observation in line with what Alex had brought up just a moment ago. I think especially in the last couple of years, collegiate chapters have been looking to their alumni to serve as the alumni relations officer simply because there are too few collegiate brothers to take on all of the officer positions that are needed at the time. You know, we have some chapters within Province 2 that were down to five collegiate members, even one down to three collegiate brothers. And so they were looking for the support of literally whoever would bear the load to be able to survive through the pandemic.
And that, I mean, you've got to do what you got to do. I completely agree with that. I mean, if you're down to five people, then, I mean, you can only do so much. But if you have 15 people, then there's room for somebody to do that. And I'm experienced with 30 people, and I'm experienced with five. I've done both.
So one more comment for you. This comes to us from Brother Courtright, who's in via a phone call today, that says, if using Gmail contact lists, then there should be like an email address created to be passed on from ARO to ARO, which I strongly agree with.
Rho Theta just used we had a Rho Theta Gmail, if you want to create a specific ARO email, then, I mean, go at it. The name of the email should be something pretty easy to remember, like
rotheta@gmail.com.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
All right, let's keep moving. Yeah, we can go ahead and skip this for right now, and we can, yes, alumni presence. So if you want your alumni there, consider their schedules. If you have, say you have a ensemble that's like a community ensemble at your school, and it happens like just a few doors down, and you decide to schedule an event that you want alumni there for, don't schedule your event at the same time as said ensemble. And then all of these guys, for the most part, have jobs. A lot of them are music teachers. They've had a long week, and I know that these are things that you've probably all heard before, but it is definitely something to consider. One thing that we did with Rho Theta is we had Savannah Winds that met from 7 to 9 on Mondays. After Savannah Winds, a whole bunch of us brothers would go right across the street to Waffle House. Not very expensive, and we would just chill out at Waffle House for a while, and it was really great camaraderie for all of us to just get together and be together. Planning events ahead of time is something that I know that easier said than done, right? Things come up. All of a sudden there's a concert on a day that you had like a writ scheduled or something, because you tried to schedule your writ like way ahead in advance. What I'd say about this is and this doesn't have to be done by the ARO. It can be done by just about anybody, probably your secretary. Reach out to faculty, music faculty especially, and like try and coordinate with them on what days concerts are, and schedule things a semester ahead of time if you can. And then you can create a list of what your events are, and you can send it out in a timely manner. What a timely manner for me is a couple of months at least, and then you're reminding them. 2 weeks is not enough when you've got a teacher, you've got teachers, you've got Walmart store managers, 2 weeks is not enough. You need to be putting it out at least a couple of months ahead of time. And if it changes, there needs to be an update. That updated change needs to go out as soon as you know about it. And then if you want alumni there, include some facet of the event where alumni can reflect on their experience as a Sinfonian, especially if it's like a rush week sort of deal. If you've got alumni there, let them talk about what they've done before and how they remember it and how it's affected them over all this time. It'll really help them to feel valued and like they have a purpose for being there if you give them a little bit of time to share. And it doesn't need to be a whole hour of like a pass the gavel at every event, but just, I mean, you're making announcements at events all the time. You can just take 5 minutes and ask one alumni to just talk about what you're doing and how they remember it fondly. And it'll put a smile on everybody's face and it'll be a lot of fun and for them. And your new members will appreciate it because they can hear about the differences in what you used to do and how you do things now. That's what I've got on that one. Can we go to the next slide, Wes?
Good. I've updated Zoom apparently since the last time I used it, so I don't know how to raise my hand in the system. I had a question that went along with this in terms of how people are communicating with their alumni. What are y'all using now in terms of the tools to get the information out? Because, like, for example, we're talking about this timing. The chapter in the town that I live had an initiation ritual this fall, and I didn't know about it until like 2 days before because of the communication tool that they were using, which by then it was too late for me to be able to make a change to my plans. So what else are people using in terms of that communication? Is it just email, or what other ideas have people found that work well?
So first off, Wes, you can find the hand raise under the reactions tab now. I think that's changed since one of the previous iterations. And Frankie, please go ahead.
So yeah, it's more of a program that we use with emails, I guess. We use something called MailChimp, and basically you compile a bunch of emails, in this case, all of our alumni. And then we basically send out a mass email like that. It basically, you could just add to the list, take away from the list, makes it much easier to keep that maintained.
Very good. Kevin, go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I'm wondering, Wes, what system of contact did they use and why was it not working for you? You're muted.
Right. So what they were using was actually our province Discord. And the problem with that method of communication was I didn't have notifications turned on, so I didn't see it. But at the same time, they were using that not to communicate with alumni. They were using that to communicate with the other chapters in the province. That's the last primary tool that the chapters in province 33 here in Georgia have used to share information. Some chapters are using it, some chapters aren't. But as an alumni, I wouldn't have, that information if I hadn't gone in and, like I said, checked the Discord. But by the time I checked it, it was too late to make a schedule. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Dave and I had been talking about that. Remember, Dave? Last time. And I actually talked with a very good friend of mine in New York about setting up a Discord account. And she was, once she had done it, she was telling me that, well, it just seems really clubby and you have to have a certain purpose, or there was something very strange about, and the notifications, I think, is an issue. So you have to set that up so that you get right. I mean, I haven't done it, but I will eventually. But did they tell you they were using Discord? That's what I'm curious about, Wes.
Yeah, so I knew that the chapters were using the Discord periodically. It hadn't been used in a while. And so that's why I wasn't checking it regularly. So it's not now, and I will say this is not my host or my home chapter. It's just the chapter in the town where I currently live. So I've been able to get over there, and you know.
Has your home chapter successfully communicated with you?
Not really. No, they're not particularly good at communication, it turns out, with alumni. And I recognize this is something that goes cyclical with who the brothers in charge at the province are. You know, one good ARO can set up a fantastic system, put together an email list, do the legwork to find all that contact information, which I think hopefully everybody's seeing should be easier for recent alumni, right? It's if you get folks as they're going out the door of their undergrad, and you can say, all right, don't forget to give us your personal email address, make sure we have all that information on file so we can stay in touch. It is much harder to get in contact with older alumni. The more removed in age you are, it is definitely harder. It's up to the alumni more at that point to stay involved. But then you do all of that work, and then you get an ARO with, you know, less enthusiasm for the position or whatever might be the case. And you end up losing all of that hard work, and now the communication stops and that email list disappears or something like that. So
two really, really important points that just came up. Wes, you brought up one of them, which is electing a good ARO. Now, Andrew, I think already did a really good job addressing this earlier, but when you elect an alumni relations officer, it shouldn't be, you know, that guy who wanted an e-board position, but, you know, he's a really good guy, so we want him to be an officer, so we'll just make him ARO. ARO, historian, these are positions that all too frequently become the throwaway officer positions because they're not e-board, but they're still incredibly, incredibly important to the history of the chapter, both in, you know, what has already been written and what is the story that we're currently writing. Another really important point comes from Bill from the chat that brings up, you know, how do we actually communicate with our alumni brothers? Different generations of alumni are used to communicating in very different ways. I still don't know how Brother Courtright and I get along nowadays without AOL Instant Messenger. Like that was our primary mode of communication for everything back in the early aughts. But the younger generation has things like Slack, Discord. The slightly older generation has things like Facebook Messenger. The slightly older generation than that has things like email. The farther back you go, And I don't mean for this to sound derogatory, but the more primitive your communication has to be. It might take a phone call. It might take a handwritten letter mailed to somebody to really get somebody's attention. I'm serious right now. Like we had a really nice presentation from a province alumni coordinator a number of years back that talked about communicating with different generations of Symphonians and how it needs to take place. So I think that Bill, thank you for bringing that up because it stirred some memories.
One thing that really worked for me, and I think I talk about this later in the presentation, but I'll go ahead and get to it because it's coming up. The most well-attended alumni event that I've ever been a part of was while I was ARO, I reached out to every alumni I could get my hands on, and I either messaged them directly or I called them personally. So they all got the email. They all saw it in the newsletter if they read the newsletter, which I talk about newsletters later. But just to really enforce, I want you here, I reached out to each of them personally. And I believe we had, it was an alumni meet and greet during a rush week. We had two people show up that were interested in joining, and we had about 20 alumni show up, which is just, it was awesome. I was over the moon, just amazed at how many people we had show up. All right, can we move on to the next slide? I believe I have a question. Yes. What events do you host that encourage alumni presence, and what do you think you can add? Let's focus on the active members in the chat right now. Go ahead and talk to us. If you feel like it. If you don't feel like it, then I suppose you don't have to.
Brother Lane, go ahead.
So, especially in the past couple years, because of circumstances being what they are and just operating on a regular basis has been difficult, it's mostly just been like our typical ceremonies, our chapter day, our founder's day, our ritual, just mostly basic things like that, which I know isn't the most ideal answer, but that's just what it's been.
All right. So what are some, there's one thing that we always do, and it's, we used to call it distraction night, but we started doing them more often. It was before finals week. We would have a night of the week where we just brought a bunch of board games and video games and invited anyone that wanted to come to just hang out and play board games. Something like that can easily turn, could do it not as the distraction night, but just a board game night with all of your actives and invite the alumni and reach out to them individually. Find their contacts, call them, text them. Don't just leave it to the email. Alrighty, let's keep it moving. Got about 24 minutes left. Newsletters. Okay. So everybody talks about the newsletter, but no one really talks about how to put one together. So yes, they allow for really great communication from the chapter, not just individual brothers, but it's like the chapter itself is talking to your alumni. They keep alumni updated and allow you to announce upcoming events, and you can always leave a little section where you're asking for feedback from it. Wes, if you go to the next slide over, I've got a link there to an alumni newsletter that I put together. If that does work. So yes, you could just scroll through that. I've got all sorts of interesting things in here. A little greeting from me as the ARO, just saying what's going on, what they'll find inside of the newsletter. We start with a greeting from our president. I've got a nice, I went and I asked everybody to put something together here. I asked one of our new brothers who just crossed to just talk about what he enjoyed during his education process and how he enjoys being a new member. Got our FEO to talk about updates with the upcoming class that was coming up. Our university was going through a consolidation, which had a lot of implications for our chapter. So that's something of great concern to the alumni, right? So I included all of the most updated information that I could about what was going on with that consolidation. I had somebody talk about their experience. They were about to graduate, just talk about all of that ooey gooey stuff. The Lichting Gate had just started, so I included some stuff about that. Dates to Remember. And yeah, that was the newsletter. It was nothing super complicated, nothing like way off the wall. Like, it's not all that overwhelming to put together. What I did was I figured out what I wanted to include inside of this newsletter. I tried to get as many different voices inside of this as I could. One, so that way they weren't just hearing from me. But two, I didn't have to do all the work. Half of this newsletter had a message from somebody else. And I just looked over it to make sure there weren't any spelling errors or anything of the sort, fixed those things and put it in there, formatted it, sent it out. Alrighty, so can go back to the presentation. Thank you so much, Wes, for doing this for me. So have any of you guys ever put out a newsletter? And if so, what's your experience with it?
Brother Lane, go ahead.
So yeah, I mentioned before I was ARO briefly. And I was told, you know, it wasn't a big deal, nothing to stress, which you mentioned, but I think I took that a little too much to heart. Not that I didn't try with it, I did. I thought it was very pretty, at least, and had all the relevant information, but it very much was just me going at it for a few hours on my laptop one night, and then I sent it out, and that was the end of it. So a lot of what you said about getting multiple voices and focusing on what they need to know and everything, I really liked. But, you know, I think we got a little too stiff with ours, where we were just following a format. I looked at the person before me who looked at what the person before me did. And I think breaking away from that and getting more people involved is really good advice.
Brother Taylor?
It's Jeff.
So one of the things I'll say, I have not had to put together a newsletter myself, but we always had, in addition to AROs putting together chapter newsletters, we had our assistant CPRs at the province level put together province newsletters. And when I was a province governor, one of the ways that I always was kind of keeping my eye out for someone who I knew, if I needed them to help with a task, if I needed someone to step up to get something done at the province level, maybe to run for office or help out in some larger way, I always thought back to the guys who put together their alumni newsletters. Because like Nick said, this is one of those things that gets kicked to the curb. But if you get someone who is elected to this position and they take the time and they're willing to put in the effort to put together that newsletter, to do their best to get this job that so many people at the collegiate level oftentimes don't seem to care as much about, that was always a great sign in my mind, that was a brother that I needed to be watching out for and keeping in mind and making a little note about. Like, okay, so this person put, you know, I visit a chapter, read their newsletter. That was great. I'm going to write this guy's name down because I know that if I need help with something at a larger level, that's someone who's got that dedication, that commitment, and that ability to help get it done. So anyway, that's my thought on the newsletter.
Kevin, I'm going to interject something real quick. Brother Courtright sent another message that mentions that newsletters have high views and low responses. If you keep the newsletters coming reliably and include specific asks in order to find out what people want and who's reading, that should get you good results. Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I do have some experience, but, you know, back in the day, I was secretary of my chapter when I was active, and I put out a monthly newsletter to the active members. But I did find that one of the things that was welcome was just information about what the active chapter members were doing, what the brothers are doing, like what recitals they were playing and what concerts they were playing and what, you know, what big events were happening. Because everybody needed support, you know, go to hear John's recital or go to hear whatever, you know, the band, the marching band playing that game, and there's like 30 brothers in it or whatever, you know. And I found that was really welcome. So I'm not sure if it seems to me, I mean, I know if I got a newsletter from any chapter saying that these brothers are giving a recital or giving a concert or even doing a fundraiser or something like that, I would probably be more interested in hearing that kind of information because it's personal. So that's just my opinion.
That's really good stuff. I only put out a semesterly newsletter just because it seemed like a task. It felt like a lot of weight. And I was also secretary at the same time. I was CPR at the same time. So it was, as far as my time constraints, I put it out semesterly. But your alumni honestly just want to see the thing. If they see it and it's got good information in it, that's a diverse array of information, they'll just really appreciate having received it.
Andrew, you said something really interesting just now. As long as it has good information in it, I think that's where there is occasionally a disconnect between what the collegiate chapter views as good information and what the alumni brothers view as good information. That's where maintaining a dialogue as far as what they actually enjoy seeing in those alumni newsletters is going to be really good feedback to have. So similar to what Kevin just said.
Yes. And I can share this link of the newsletter that I put together with anyone who asks about it. My name is Andrew Conger. You can find me on Facebook. It's an open link because it was a newsletter that went out to everyone. So that is yours. And if you want to copy exactly what I did, you don't even have to put me, you don't even have to use me as a reference. Just do the thing.
Wes just put it in the chat. Thank you for that, Wes.
All right, let's keep it moving. Finding the helpful. Okay, so this is a section all about how you have got so many people that want to help you out. They can each help out in their own way. I'm going to share a couple of instances. I won't include names, but just how I have been helped out by alumni or somebody that I know has been helped out by alumni. I went to that emerging meeting up in Lyrecrest, which didn't actually happen at Lyrecrest. And I ended up being stuck in Evansville, Indiana, because my flight was not selected for the right day. But there was a brother who lived in Atlanta. I live in Savannah. That's about a 4-hour drive, who had driven up there. And he let me ride with him, and he drove me all the way down to Savannah. He was going to drive back up to Atlanta that night, but I was like, please stay on my couch or something. Like, and he stayed the night with me and then went back up to Atlanta that next day. That was, he did not have to do that, but he just helped me out. I've been helped out financially by alumni brothers before. I was broke, dumb broke, and I needed help with the bills, and I knew who to reach out to. I had those relationships built to where they told me that if I were to reach out and I needed anything, they would help me, and they kept their word on that. and I've tried to pay them back, but it would not take the money back. And then networking advice. I mean, so many of us join this fraternity for networking. That's one of the things that we say we joined it for. But actually utilize that. You've got brothers who are in all sorts of fun positions all throughout. I mean, whatever career you're after, we've got a brother there. And if you just reach out and form a relationship with said person, I'm sure not everybody wants you to just start being friends with them because they'll help you. But it's by having that relationship with the right people. This fraternity's got all the people in it that you could need to form a relationship with to help you out, get you wherever you need to go. Start building those alumni relationships, and they're going to help you out in whatever way it is that you need. We've also gotten some really good advice about how to plan events, what to include. That's establishing the dialogue. What do the alumni want to see? Just by having that dialogue and the people who will be honest with you about this is something that I wish the chapter did. We started a fun tradition at Rotheta where we started doing a Thanksgiving potluck that was specifically for alumni. And that got started because an alumni said they wanted to see it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And we got a lot of people there. And that's just one of those things where you get to see your brothers. And that was an alumni recommendation. That was not anything that we thought about. So yes, there are helpful alumni. You just need to build those relationships and talk to them. Yes. Does your chapter have any alumni that you've been able to rely on? And what skills do other alumni have that would be helpful? Anybody want to talk on this?
Yeah, Frankie, go ahead.
So actually, one alumni that we often go to is actually my big. He was initiated in the spring of 2017, I believe. He's currently doing his master's in public policy at University of Delaware. So we often go to him for questions about chapter advice. He was both the president and the FEO, so he's also very up to date on province stuff, national stuff. So someone we often go to.
Excellent. And John Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been a part of two different chapters. Lambda Phi was my initiating chapter, and Lambda Xi is the chapter that I am currently a member of. And I'll speak more about Lambda Xi because it's more recent. I can't remember all those years back. But we have a really good alumni base that's here in Oxford. A lot of alumni are still here in Oxford. And so our alumni actually have a little jazz band or a jazz ensemble, more like it. And the collegiate members will actually play with that group of alumni. And it kind of bounces back and forth like that. They come in and help us out anytime that we're doing a chapter jazz band type thing. And then we help them out anytime they're doing stuff. So, and we also have alumni that are involved in local restaurants and such as that.
Are you still talking, John Peter?
Can you hear me?
Or is that it?
John Peter, I can still hear you. He is still talking, Andrew.
Yeah, so basically what I was just about to say is that we also have alumni that are in local restaurants.
My audio might have stopped working.
And they are able to help secure bookings and gigs for different brothers that maybe want to do a small jazz ensemble or something like that. which we actually just did one last week. So there you go.
Andrew, can you hear us? All right, looks like we might be working on some technical issues for just a moment. Here I am with a strong desire to start giving him audio cues like, hey, have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? And realizing that he can't actually hear me giving that solid tech advice.
There we go. I hear you guys now. I'm back. So sorry.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, no worries.
Okie dokie. So communication. Yes, we've talked so much about communication, and we've probably hit all of these points, but alumni want to hear from you. They want to know how you're doing. They want to know how they can help out, and developing those personal relationships is so very important. I only have 5 minutes left, so let's keep rolling. Yes. Have relationships with alumni that you didn't go to school with personally. You've got people that graduated before you got there, but see them at events. Let's keep it moving. I've got one more point to get to, I believe. Yes. So Sinfonia doesn't stop when you graduate. You will eventually yourself become an alumni. If you don't have anywhere to start with alumni coordination, start thinking about what you would like to see once you are an alumni yourself. And then just start doing those things. What kind of things would you want to know about and want to be able to attend if once you're an alumni that your chapter is doing now? Try and create the experience for your alumni that you want to have once you yourself are an alumni. So how do you want Sinfonia to be a part of your life once you graduate? We've got 4 minutes.
Any of our collegiate brothers have a response? How would you like, or how do you want Sinfonia to be part of your life once you graduate? I also have a message from Patrick from a couple slides ago that says we have a few alumni brothers who are professors at their alma mater, and we've been able to ask them questions or develop meaningful relationships with them. In fact, both of the directors of bands and various music positions at our school. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool, yeah. All right.
So anybody have an opinion on this before we move to the next slide?
Yep, we're at the end here. Just we've got 3 minutes to talk about alumni coordination stuff that you guys want to see. Do any of the active members have questions that were not addressed?
And feel free to just unmute and talk without doing the whole hand raising thing for the open Q&A portion.
Andrew, would you be willing to share that slides file so that we can pass it along to our AROs or whoever else might want to see it?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, if nobody has anything that has any further questions, we can call this thing done. I'll share the link, and thank you all for coming. I apologize for my technical issues. As I had several.
Well, let us take a moment to express our gratitude to you, Brother Conger, for your presentation. Thank you very much for the presentation. And I would say, even with the technical issues, it still was executed very, very well. So thank you for your willingness to present during this event. And hopefully we'll see you at some more in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to keep doing this. I enjoy it. And it's something that needs to be talked about. So,
absolutely. Strong agree.
Y'all have a good one.